Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
It's called Blowing the Dust Off the Ghost. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And so we talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago. We started by talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, and that is that the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit is not just a spirit, not just a ghost, although we call it Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. A person has a mind, will, and emotions. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit leads and guides. The Holy Spirit was the one that directed Paul where he was to go when he wasn't to go to Macedonia. The Holy Spirit was the one who forbid. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity, always existed, always was, and is fully God, all right? Fully part of the Godhead, fully God. And so we talked about that the Holy Spirit is that active member of the Trinity that's very active in our lives. And we talked about the fact that in the Old Testament, oftentimes what you would have in the Old Testament is you would have the Holy Spirit that would be present, either the presence of God through the Ark of the Covenant, in which the presence of God would be there, or on certain individuals, the Holy Spirit would come upon certain individuals within the Old Testament for a certain period of time. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that this was a promise that all believers could be empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just come upon, but that the Holy Spirit would live inside of us and empower us. Why? Because we became the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? In Corinthians, isn't that what it says? That your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives where? In you. In you. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And so we talked about the importance of understanding that there is a promise of the Holy Spirit, promise baptism in the Holy Spirit, and promise power from the Holy Spirit that is available to every believer. I want to just kind of start on that premise. I want to talk a little bit tonight about what the Holy Spirit does. What's the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives? What does the Holy Spirit do for us in our lives? Next week, we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right, I'm going to specifically begin to lay out the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're going to walk through that together next week. But before we get to that, I feel like this week we've got to do some preparation. We've got to do some things to just talk again a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. I just want to back up a little bit. I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit does, because I want to try to remove maybe some of the misconceptions about the Holy Spirit and some of the fears and some of those kind of things, and talk a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does. But before we talk about what He does today in our lives, I want to back up and talk a little bit about what He did. What did the Holy Spirit do? What has He already done? Well, the Holy Spirit, first of all, was a part of the world's creation. When the world was created, when God created the world, how many know the Holy Spirit was present? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep," and it says, "and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Just like Jesus Christ has always existed, always was. John chapter 1 says, "And the Word was with God, the Word was God." That's what it says. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we know the Word is talking, referring to Jesus, because in John 1:14 it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus didn't just start to exist during the Immaculate Conception. Okay, that wasn't the beginning of Jesus, all right? Jesus always existed. There are periods in which you see, like in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one who looked like the Son of God. That's Jesus. There are appearances of Jesus in the Old Testament. Well, just like that in the Old Testament appearance of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was very much present in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit is not something that just came with the early church in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit was very much present all throughout the Bible, and it began right at creation. Genesis 1:2, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Psalm 33:6, the psalmist wrote this, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of His mouth." Now, you say, where's Holy Spirit in that? In the word breath. The breath of his mouth. Why? Because the word breath that is used in this psalm is the Hebrew word ruach, which is the same word for spirit. The breath of God or the spirit of God. Psalm 104:30 says, when you send your spirit, they were created. You renew the face of the earth. When you send your spirit, they are created. You renew the face of the earth. And so part of what happened at creation was not only the spoken word of God, but the spirit of God bringing forth life. Bringing forth life. Part of that bringing forth life was the creation of man. The Holy Spirit was part of that. Everything in all creation, God spoke into existence. He spoke it when it came into creation. But when it came to man, God breathed into his nostrils and he became alive. Man is simply the outer body, is simply an earthly tabernacle in which God dwells. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that man, and the man became a living being. Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Do you realize the grace of God in that? That the very breath in our lungs is because of Jesus Christ, because of His Spirit. He breathes the breath of life into us. I love the picture in the Old Testament of Ezekiel and the prophecy that Ezekiel had of the dry bones. The dry bones that came together into an army, and they were bones to bone and sinews to sinews, and they came together. And then he said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. See, they were an army, but there was no life. Without the breath, without the Spirit, there was no life. They were just a bunch of dry, dead bones. And friends, without the Spirit of God in our lives, we are a church that is just a bunch of old, dry bones. I don't want to be a church that's dry bones. I want to be an army of God. An army of God filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, moving and directing in the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need a bunch of dead dry bones. Without the Spirit of God, we're a bunch of dead dry bones. Just the way it is. We need the Spirit of God. I don't know if you realize this, but the Holy Spirit was an active part of Jesus' life and ministry as well. Right from the beginning, right at his birth, in Luke 1:35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Just like in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit would come upon people, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived. Part of the birth of Jesus Christ, the conception of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was at work. In the ministry, again, bringing life in Jesus' ministry. Luke 3:22, we know this one. This is what gives us a picture of the Trinity. It was at Jesus' baptism, and it said that the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, you are my Son, whom I love, and whom I am well pleased. In there, we see Jesus being baptized. We hear the voice of the Father and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. It's here that we see a picture of the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit was very much a part of Jesus' ministry in the beginning of Jesus' launching. And Jesus even talked about the fact that while he was on the earth, it would prophesy that he would come and the work that he would do the works of God, that he would do them in the anointing and the power and the Spirit of God. When he stood up synagogue, that's what it is. That's what I'm thinking of. I kept wanting to say tabernacle. I knew that wasn't right. Have you ever had that before when you get all tongue-tied? He got in the synagogue, and when he went into the synagogue, he opened up the scriptures, and he began to read from the Old Testament, and this is what he said about himself, what was prophesied. He said, this has been fulfilled. This is what he said was fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed. He didn't come in his own, fully human. But he came in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God anointed him. The Spirit of God was very much a part of his ministry. The Spirit of God was very active in teaching. In Acts 1:2, it says, until the day he was taken up after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Jesus didn't just teach in his own authority, although he had the authority of God, but the authority that people said, man, what this guy teaches in authority and power. What's going on? Why? Why was he doing that? Because he was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was under the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was a part of the teaching of Jesus through the Spirit. And then Jesus, the Holy Spirit, was very much present in his resurrection. To that we read from the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:11 that says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Notice it wasn't just like a creation, the physical life, but part of the rebirth process, being not only born of water, but born of Spirit, is realizing that the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, gives new life to you. Gives new life to you. More than physical life, but spiritual life, resurrection life, that in our sin, in our trespasses, in our own ways, we were dead. But we needed to be born of the Spirit. We needed to be born again. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are born again and we are given new life. New life. That's the Spirit of God who lives in you. So if that's what the Holy Spirit did in the Old Testament, if that's what the Holy Spirit did in the life of Jesus, what does the Holy Spirit do for us now? Number one, he makes known to us what Christ has done for us. He makes known to us what Christ has done for us. Now, I was just talking about the idea of salvation, the idea of being born of the Spirit. John 16:15, Jesus said this, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and will make it known to you. The Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. You see, that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit reveals who Jesus is. The Spirit reveals and makes known who Jesus is, makes known Jesus to us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've come to a revelation of salvation, that's because the Spirit of God has illuminated and opened up your understanding, and you go, oh, you didn't do that on your own. You're not that good. You were dead. The Spirit of God brought the revelation to you. You're not that smart. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you. Now, you see, the Spirit of God did what the law was unable to do. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 said, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So the law teaches us about sin. The law teaches, the Word of God is powerful, and the Word of God is important, and the law, the Old Testament law, teaches us about what is right and wrong. It teaches us about God's law. It teaches us what is sin and what isn't sin. But how many people really care? I mean, many people, when they want the Bible, they don't want to hear the Bible. Don't put the Bible, right? Don't give me the Bible. Keep the Bible away from me. Don't give me that book. You can explore the Quran. You can explore all this and all that. And you can read this. Nobody says anything. But you talk about a Bible and it's like, whoa, keep that away. Why? Because the Hebrew says it's living and active. It's the Word. It's Jesus. And there's power and there's life and there's Spirit. It's a part of the Word. And the law is good. The law reveals to us sin. But the law without the Spirit of God, the law, just in and of its own, we were unable to obey it. All it did is reveal sin. All it did is make us guilty. All it did was make us realize how far away from God that we were. But the Spirit teaches us about salvation. Romans 8:2, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. Through Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life began to open up and bring revelation that it wasn't just our consciousness of sin, but it was the revelation of what Jesus Christ did in order to make a way that was impossible for us on our own. What we were unable to do, the Spirit of Jesus Christ says, listen, through the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a new way, a way of salvation, and through the Holy Spirit, we can begin to walk in that new way, a new and living way. He makes known to us what Christ has done. He makes known salvation. Secondly, he will convince and convict us. He will convince and convict us. And I think it's important to understand both of those terms. John 16, 8 to 11. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will convince us that we need a Savior. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Convinces us that we need a Savior. The Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin. When before we didn't care, we just did whatever we wanted, we didn't care. As soon as we receive the revelation of the Holy Spirit reveals and makes known what Jesus has done. Part of that is the Holy Spirit says, listen, here's the holiness of God. Here's where you are. You're not as good as you think you are. Oh, but I'm a good person. I give to the poor once in a while. Sometimes I'm a nice person when I feel like it. Right? I'm not selfish all the time. The Holy Spirit says, no, you're selfish. No, you're sinful. No, you need a Savior. The Holy Spirit will convince us of our need for a Savior and convict us of our sin. We need the Holy Spirit. If you got somebody that you know that isn't following Jesus, doesn't know Jesus, you need to pray that Jesus, number one, would be made known to them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and number two, that the Holy Spirit would convince and convict them of their sin. The Holy Spirit. Some of us try to do the Holy Spirit's job. We need the Holy Spirit to do that job. He does it a whole lot better because he does it in both ways. Convincing and convicting is good, but he also reveals the love and grace of Jesus Christ. It's both. He reveals us the truth. Jesus came in truth and grace. It was both. It was twofold. Thirdly, he produces spiritual life in us. Ephesians 2:1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We were dead. In our transgressions and sin, we were dead. Who's responsible for the born-again process? The Holy Spirit is. We were dead in our transgressions, but the Holy Spirit allowed us to experience and produce new life. Titus 3, 5, and 6. He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. He saved us. Washing us in the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 1 and 2, therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Woohoo! Why? Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit set me free from the law of sin and death. Through the Spirit. John 14, 17 and 18, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. For He lives with you, and He will be where? In you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit is the one that produces life in us. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit in us, produces the life in us. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. We need to recognize that. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit assures us of our salvation. I know some people struggle with this. How do I know if I'm saved? How do I know if I'm saved? The Holy Spirit is the one who brings the assurance. In Romans 8, 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit will testify with our spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring the confirmation. There is an inner witness. When you receive Christ, there is an inner witness. There is an inner awakening. Your spirit and the Spirit of God come into agreement and agree and testify that we are God's children. Galatians 4, 6 through 7, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so you're no longer a slave but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. An heir to His kingdom. An heir, a part of the promise with Jesus, co-heirs with Christ. Sometimes people lack the assurance and salvation because they don't have an active relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need an active relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to invite the work of the Holy Spirit to begin and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to assure me of my salvation. If you're struggling with the assurance of your salvation, you need to pray, Holy Spirit, I need an assurance. I need you to give me that inner assurance. I need you to give me that inner witness. You might need to nurture your relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can't live a sin-free life, but the Holy Spirit will remind us of sin and righteousness and the residency that He has in our lives. Now, friends, let me tell you something. That conviction that comes, that Holy Spirit conviction that comes, we can ignore that or we can submit to that. If you ignore that and you do that enough times, you become callous. That's what impacts your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then you begin to question, what's going on? What's happening? Don't ignore that inner witness. Cultivate that relationship. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, lead me. The Holy Spirit assures us and of that salvation. Fifthly, He gives us power over the flesh. I mean, you say, I just don't have any power over this flesh. That's because we need the Spirit of God. We need to cultivate the relationship with the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. When we are living by the Spirit, we don't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Why? Because we are cultivating that relationship with the Holy Spirit. We are living by the Spirit. Let me tell you something. There is a war that is raged. There is a war between your flesh and your spirit. There's a war. Now, before you were saved, your spirit was dead, so you didn't care. You really didn't care. Your spirit was dead. That was what was born again. That was what was born again. Your flesh is the outside. It's everything that touches the world. It influences your mind, will, and emotions. It's your sight, your five senses. You know, those things that happen. Those are the things that bring temptation, aren't they? I mean, obviously, there's a seed that is in our minds. But that seed is initiated when we see something and it triggers. Or we touch something and it triggers. Or we hear something and it triggers, right? It triggers those feelings, those senses that we have, those five senses that we have, they begin to trigger things. You can smell something. How many know you can smell something and immediately from those senses it can begin to stir something up? Have you ever been hungry? You walk by a bakery before. You know what I'm talking about? Bread man, right? You walk by a bakery and man, oh man, the smell, it just, that smell can just, oh, I got to have, but I'm not having carbs. I'm done with carbs. Oh, but that smells so good, right? It's your flesh. Your flesh wants to be gratified, right? Your flesh is what's the, your flesh wants to be gratified. How can you begin to overcome the flesh? Because the flesh is strong and the flesh influences the mind, the will, and the emotions. What do you need? You need the Spirit of God inside of you to be stronger than your flesh. You need the Spirit of God inside of you begin to work and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is the Spirit of God inside of you that as you begin to cultivate the relationship with the Holy Spirit, as you begin to grow in the relationship with your Holy Spirit, as you begin to quench the flesh and you say, I'm going to fast and I'm not giving into the flesh and I'm not going to look at that stuff and I'm not going to listen to that stuff and I'm not going to put me in a position where I start to build up and strengthen the flesh. Instead, I'm going to read the Word of God and I'm going to stay connected to the body of Christ and I'm going to stay connected in prayer and I'm going to begin to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? The Holy Spirit in your life begins to grow. The inside of you begins to grow and it influences your mind, your will, and your emotions, and all of a sudden you have strength to overcome the flesh. But if you starve your spirit, you stop reading the Word, you stop praying, you stop worshiping, you isolate yourself and don't hang around with other believers, you don't have time for that kind of stuff, and you do all that other stuff, but instead you sit in front of that tube and you watch all that fleshly stuff. You take in all those senses, all of those things. You just put yourself in all that position. Guess what? Your flesh will be stronger than your spirit. And it'll influence your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you'll be an emotional basket case. And I just can't. I just have to get. I just need this. I don't know why I give it. I don't know why this is all the time. Stop feeding the flesh. Cultivate the Spirit of God in your life. And you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. You won't have to. We should just end right there. That's what it is. Because the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is cultivated in that way. E.S. Williams said, it is the work of the Spirit to keep and to give the power over the flesh. It's the work of the believer that he cooperates by faith with the Spirit. Woo! Yes, we are not saved by works. We're not saved by works. But let me tell you something. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, there are spiritual disciplines. There are certain things that you do that open you up, that work together with the power of the Holy Spirit to make the Holy Spirit in your life stronger than the flesh. And it produces fruit and righteousness in your life. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. It is the Holy Spirit, as we cultivate that relationship, that then out of that relationship with the Holy Spirit will begin to flow the fruit of the Spirit in our life. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Romans 8, 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. We do not know how we ought to pray or what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Paul commanded this, Ephesians 6, 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And Jude 1:20, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Listen, part of what we're going to talk about next week is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about this spooky thing called tongues, all right? We're going to talk about that. But let me tell you something, part of that spooky thing called tongues, one of the main things why I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit and why the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues is because we need an active prayer life in the Spirit. There is a spiritual language. There is a praying in the Spirit that will give power, that will give a benefit to us in our prayer life, in our intercession. There is a part of that is really important for us. And we need to understand that this area is not about minimizing any other kind of prayer. But as we yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives, as we yield that most unruly member, where out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As we begin to yield that unruly member called the tongue, and we begin to use it in an area of prayer and intercession, it brings transformation. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We run out of things. I don't even know how to pray. You just begin to pray in the Spirit. You begin to connect. You begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. The Holy Spirit counsels and guides us. John 16, 12 and 13, I have much more to say to you, more than you now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is to come. John 14, 16 and 17, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And finally tonight, He empowers us for service. Luke 24, 49, I'm going to send my Father what my Father has promised. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. What was that power from on high for? It wasn't a show off. It wasn't to create a platform or create a stage. All right? It was to serve others. It was to bring thy will be done in heaven as on earth as it is in heaven. It's to say, listen, do what Jesus did. Right? Now, Paul's message, the early church, their message, the message they had to preach was confirmed. The power, the miracles and the signs and the wonders confirmed the message and the power of God. They confirmed that God was alive. We need some of that. We need some of that. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It is my prayer during this time when we are focused on the Holy Spirit, we're focused on this idea of just getting that connection back with the Holy Spirit, that what will happen is that the unknown will be removed. Usually the fear. We fear things we don't know. I'm praying that through this teaching, through this time of the Holy Spirit, that you'll become more comfortable with the Holy Spirit. You'll be, as you learn and grow, you'll go, oh, okay. That it's gonna remove maybe some traditional misconceptions. Tradition is not always biblical, friends. There's a danger in building doctrine on traditions and experiences rather than the roots of Scripture. So I want to unpack Scripture for you. I'm doing a little bit more in this area of unpacking Scripture because I want you to understand there's scriptural things. And I want to. I hope this will remove some spiritual excuses, like I don't understand. I just don't know. So I can ignore the Holy Spirit because I just don't know what that is or understand it. Friends, we got to be open to the truth. We got to be open to what God has, because we need the Spirit of God in our lives. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. If we are going to be effective as believers, if we're going to be the army of God that He's called us to, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back as we close tonight. And I want you to begin to just pray. I want you to begin to ask the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to start in that area where the Holy Spirit needs to bring assurance to your faith. Maybe you need to be in that area where the Holy Spirit needs to bring some conviction. It's been a while since you've been convicted of any kind of sin in your life. Maybe you need to say, you know what, I just need to be renewed in the Holy Spirit. I need the renewal of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to pray again. Maybe at one time you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but maybe you just need to come and you need to say, God, I need a renewing of your Holy Spirit in my life. I need a renewing of your Holy Spirit in my life. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, but I want to pray that tonight you will grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. You will grow in that relationship. Jesus, we just come before you tonight. You are the baptizer. You are the giver. You are the one who said that unless I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. John the Baptist said that he baptized in water, but you would baptize in the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to cultivate and to grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, convince and convict us tonight. Holy Spirit, make known to us. Jesus, make known to us the Word of God. Bring revelation tonight in our lives. Fill us and empower us with your Spirit. Guide us and lead us into all truth. Grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.